Our second reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 17. You will be probably familiar with this story, but listen with new ears. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered the village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And they went, and they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." For the word of God and scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us, thanks be to God. So this summer, I have been pursued by arousals of gratitude. Preaching and celebrating with you these past 4 months has certainly been part of it. It has meant a lot to be here with you. And it's helped me realize that I am in a very good place in my life. After several years in restless retirement, many of you might relate, I realized that it was not as easy a transition as I'd expected. But these days, I feel blessed. At the oddest times, I've had to stop and catch my breath as my chest constricts with awe. Unexpectedly, tears can come up and gather right behind the spill point. It happened under Friday's full moon. I felt it when my granddaughter announced out of the blue, "You can't say stupid, Nana. But you can say stupendous." I felt it when she explained to me how church was. She explained church by saying, "Well, you have to sit and be really, really quiet for a really, really long time, and then you hear music, and then you get up and eat bread and walk around." Not bad. This sense of gratitude happened in my writing group as we grieved together the tragic and too early loss of our leader, our teacher. And it's happened in unexpected conversations with my grandson, or letting go of my own control and letting God solve a problem that was too big for me. God has been speaking in everyday experiences and amazing coincidences that could only be God's will. So I'm a little like Alice in Wonderland, learning to receive even the most bizarre or unexpected as a gift. A gift. I'm told that this is grace. I'm told it's what Christians are supposed to feel. Most Christians do feel. Have any of you been simply stunned, paralyzed, awed by the amazing providence of God? By the amazing love of God? After a period of distrust and disconnect, I am discovering this anew all over again. I'm trying to get used to it. I've been trying to understand this feeling because I want to be able to draw on it when I'm not feeling so whole and grounded. I want to incorporate it so soundly, wrap it around me so securely that it becomes my life vest or my buoy when I'm feeling at sea in a raging storm. Whether those storms are internal or external, they will come again. They will come again. So in pursuit of understanding this attitude of gratitude, today's gospel story calls to me. It is, to be sure, a very short story, one of Jesus' many healings. But the wonder of Jesus' stories is that they hold so much in a sometimes compact space. So let's go on a hunt and uncover just what it is this story wants to say. Jesus is hailed by 10 lepers. Nobody planned it. They probably stay up on that hillside as people come and go into town. Keeping themselves at that respectful distance, they cry out in almost prayerful litany, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They recognized him. And their request comes across as a chant, a ritualistic plea. It's hard to know what their expectations might have been at that point. Perhaps for some food or a blessing, but for complete healing? They had a hope born of desperation, but I doubt they had such an arrogant expectation. Perhaps this is our first clue. They asked. They asked. Wonder what they felt when Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priests." Jesus didn't promise them healing in so many words. He asked of them an act of faith. Without any blast of trumpets or laying on of hands, without any ceremony or promises or protestation, they would go to the priest and present themselves. You know, they must have looked at themselves, still disease-ridden. They must have been confused, surprised, stunned, suspicious. Would a miracle actually happen? What would the priest say? You know, was this just another ridicule, another joke at their expense? But without understanding, without fully daring to believe, they nonetheless turned as a group and started up the road. That's our second clue. The lepers didn't question Jesus. They didn't have to understand what Jesus asked. They just had to trust. So the story tells us they were cleansed as they went. It was in the action of the response that they were cleansed. It was in the action that gradually, in small little spurts, sensations began to return. One by one, they started feeling the rub and the scratch and the tickle of wounds closing and new flesh swelling. So it's fun, as they got up the hill, it's fun to imagine the awe and elation of these lepers as reality sinks in. Life is restored. To touch, to run, to laugh, to join other people. I'd like to think of them bounding up that hill as the healing continues and presenting themselves, yes, in fear, to the priest, and then going forth in glee, ready to embrace life anew. All were healed. All were made whole. Where were they? Where were they? Luke tells us that one leper stopped in the midst of rushing forward. Only one. And a Samaritan, a foreigner to boot, Only one turned backward to praise God and to thank Jesus. Even Jesus seems astonished at this. Were not all 10 cleansed, he asked? Where are they? Then Jesus focuses on the foreigner. Rise. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Made you well, made you whole, says some translations. Saved you, says some others. 10 were cleansed, but only one was made whole. Surely, surely this is about the turning back and saying thanks. Samaritan didn't just stick out his hand to Jesus and say thank you. This is way beyond a child's polite thank you or a rousing praise God. It's deep acknowledgement of an undeserved, unsought gift that is first of all humbling. Humbling in the way that confession is humbling. This sort of therapy of thankfulness helps connect to the presence and goodness of God. It's an act of surrender, an act of acknowledgement. It's hard for me to imagine that the other lepers weren't grateful as well, but unspoken gratitude does not do it. It does not deliver wholeness. It's not even offer salvation. Spoken gratitude, felt gratitude, lived gratitude, that incorporates the love. The Samaritan gained a wellness beyond the physical. When I used to hang out in Noe Valley, it wasn't that long ago, I was standing in line at the big Walgreens there. In front of me was a biker type, someone right out of a caricature, a big, burly guy with a pack of cigarettes rolled up into his t-shirt and his long hair pulled back in a ponytail and bulging muscles. Rolling over one of those arms was a tattoo, which isn't exceptional itself, except that this one said, attitude of gratitude. Because I was staring at him already, I decided to comment on it. And he grinned. Yep, he said, I got this for 10 years of sobriety. I was impressed. I have heard many 12-steppers proclaim I'm a grateful alcoholic or a grateful addict, but it took me a long time to understand this. Beginning to. Gratitude grows out of acknowledging the truths in your life, out of persevering and out of asserting your strengths. 12-steppers believe that nothing short of terrible addiction could have made them see, acknowledge, appreciate the real gifts and opportunities right before them. Sort of like, thanks, God. Thanks for knocking me upside the head and then being there to put the pieces back together again. Thanks for your love and support. 12-steppers embrace the reality that God is healing them when they could not heal themselves. The past and its lessons becomes gifts, enabling them to live more gratefully, more gracefully in the present. In just a few minutes, we're going to sing the grand hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. It was written by Martin Rinkert, German pastor of the early 1600s. He lived during the horrors of the 30 Years' War of 1618 to 1648. During war and famine and pestilence, he buried so many victims of the plague that he should have succumbed himself, if not to the disease, to the accompanying depression and morbidness. Yet in the midst of it, very middle, Martin Rinkert wrote a hymn. And in the midst of all this oppression, he sang, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and minds and voices." In the midst of a struggle, a thankful heart gave strength and renewed hope. So for sure, many of us have struggled. Many of us have suffered. But at the end of the day, we can be like the clay vase that one family pulled out of the rubble of one of those mission fires that we've had so many of lately. A family pulled out a clay pot, and it survived because it had been through the fire once before. To one extent or another, we are all lepers. We are not offered a painless existence, but we are offered opportunities for gathering perspective from painful moments. And our perspectives are cushioned by the flow of gratitude. The rough edges in life, the storm that whips our very being, they are gifts in disguise. We see life anew when the storm has vanished. So remember Mary Oliver's poem that Bill read to us? In all its beauty, in all its applause and encouragement of standing open-handed in front of God's great creation in the midst of nature, in the middle of all that, Mary Oliver inserts a caveat. Or, she says, or have you too turned from this world? Have you too gone crazy for power, for things? Have you too turned from this world? Or have you gone crazy for power, for things? In their haste to re-enter life, to greedily reclaim their restored health, the nine lepers seem to go a little crazy for power, a little crazy for self-centered things. They didn't know that seeking and receiving the gift is only half of salvation. They didn't know that acknowledging it and living in gratitude is the second half. It seems important to me that the 10th leper had to fall down in his gratefulness, had to acknowledge that powerlessness in front of Jesus in order to be healed. He had to fall down before he could, in the end, get up. Get up and walk, Jesus says. Your faith has made you well. Gratitude is the means of acknowledging that God never, ever, ever abandons. It's the road to right relationship and intimate connection. It's a collaboration with God. The scripture does not give guidelines to what this living in gratitude looks like. It doesn't give directions. And in fact, we don't know what the Samaritan's life will look like after he leaves Jesus and the disciples, and it won't be easy. After all, this man is still an outcast, a refugee, an immigrant, traditionally distrusted and excluded. If he hadn't been so ill, no way would the other lepers have had dealings with him. A common tragedy, a mutual misery drew them together. But without it, his friends will undoubtedly desert him. The Samaritan must turn back and face his life. But somehow the scriptures convey that it will be different. It will have a new quality. So the story says, it seems, remember to say thank you. But actually, I think that might be backwards. Maybe this story isn't urging us so much to say thankful, to say thank you, but rather asking us to see the world in a way that leads us to be thankful. Mary Oliver says, open your arms and revel. A 17th century monk, Brother David, says it in a different way. It is not to strive for joy and then be grateful for it. The point is to be grateful for life and joy will come. May it be so. Amen.